Harvest Messages are brought to you by Harvest Partners. To receive free email daily devotions or to become a Harvest Partner, please visit us online at harvest.org.
Well, the title of my message is The Promise of Christmas. And let's start with a word of prayer. Father, we pray that you'll bless this time as we look at your word and as we honor you and the gift of your son to this world and in our lives. Help us to understand the real meaning of Christmas, we would ask in Jesus' name. Amen. This has been a very hard Christmas season this year, of course. I think for all of us, in light of this tragedy that has happened in Sandy Hook, and this needless, horrible thing that took place with these little children. And, you know, our hearts go out to these folks. And when something like this happens, the question that is always asked is, why? Why would God allow this to happen? And, you know, I don't know that that can be answered in a satisfactory way. Trying to answer the question of why is there tragedy? Why are there accidents? Why are lives cut seemingly short? These are mysteries in this world. There have been some, even Christian leaders, who have opined, well, this is God's judgment on our nation. He's withdrawn his hand of protection, and this is why it happened. And quite frankly, I would differ with those people. I don't really think you can say that authoritatively. Jesus brought up an interesting issue in Luke chapter 13. He talked about a tower that fell in a group of Gentiles or non-believers, and he asked the rhetorical question, were they the worst sinners in Jerusalem? No, I tell you that unless you repent, you will perish. And the context of that statement was the disciples were talking with them about cause and effect, and effectively they were saying, see, bad things happen to bad people, and if something bad happens, that means you're bad. Jesus is saying, excuse me, I remember that tower that fell on those Gentiles? Were they the worst sinners? In other words, do you think that happened because they were worse sinners than anyone else? He said, no, unless you repent, you'll perish. Here's what Christ was saying. Guess what? Bad things happen, and often they're inexplicable. Good things happen to bad people. Bad things happen to good people. There are mysteries in this life. And so the point Jesus was making is you don't know when life will end, so be ready. Be ready to enter eternity. And I think the better question instead of asking why is what? What do you do? Well, what you do is you turn to God at a time like this. And I pray that those folks in that community of Newtown, Connecticut, will turn to God because I have some good news for them. I believe that every one of those children are in heaven right now because Jesus said, let the little children come unto me and forbid them not, for if such is the kingdom of heaven. And I believe if those parents and grandparents and family members and other friends and loved ones will commit their life to Christ, they can have the hope of reunion with those children. As David said when his son died, he cannot come to me, I will go to him. There is the hope of reunion. And speaking of sad things, my friend Frank Pastore went to be with the Lord this last Monday. Some of you may have heard this already, but Frank is the host of the Frank Pastore Show in KKLA. And he's been a great ally of the Harvest Crusades for many years, leading us in prayer at Angel Stadium and Dodger Stadium. And I've been a guest on the show many times. And I always appreciated how Frank would ask me to preach the gospel on the show and then give an invitation for people to come to Christ. And Frank and I hung out together. He was just a great guy, kind of a larger-than-life character, former pro baseball player, and just a lot of fun to be with, but a great love for God, a great passion for the gospel. He had a fantastic mind. He was an intellect. He was an apologist, and I'm really going to miss him. And, you know, he had this motorcycle accident, and he was in a coma for a month. So I went to see him a couple of weeks ago, and he looked like he was just taking a nap. I mean, his vital signs were good. There was no swelling in the brain. they had done an MRI and they said everything was fine. He just needed to wake up. And so we were praying for him to wake up. I was actually saying, Frank, wake up. At one point I said, Frank, if you can hear me, twitch your eye. And his eye twitched. And I was there with Steve Wilburn, who used to be our youth pastor at Harvest Riverside and now pastors at church in LA, and my son, Jonathan. I said, did you guys see that? We all saw it. We're saying, Frank, wake up. And Frank woke up, not there. He's now woken up, but not here. He woke up in heaven. Yeah, heaven is real. And eternity is real. And in eternity and in heaven, there is a final court of judgment for people like this young man that did this wicked thing. And there is also a time when wrongs are going to be righted and rewards are going to be given out. And I have no doubt that Frank has probably already heard the Lord say to him, well done, good and faithful servant. Enter into the joy of your Lord. But you know, when sad things like this happen, or if maybe some of you have lost a loved one as we have, Christmas can be really hard, can't it? Especially because it's just so filled with memories. And so many of those memories are triggered. And when you see other people having fun, it can actually bring a lot of sadness to you. In fact, it can even bring you to the point where you would just like to skip Christmas altogether. And so I pretty much decided that this year I am canceling Christmas. It's officially canceled as of now. You say, no, Mom, Pastor Gray canceled Christmas. We're going to call him Pastor Grinch from now on. No. Understand, I'm not saying cancel the celebration of the birth of Christ. I'm not saying unstring your lights and put away your presents. I'm just saying let's cancel that version of Christmas that has no place for God. Let's cancel that version of Christmas that's happy holidays instead of Merry Christmas. Let's cancel that version that's just endless hype and activities without any thought of Jesus. Let's get back to what Christmas really is. What is it? Well, it's a celebration of the birth of Jesus. You know, I like Christmas, actually. And I think at its very best, Christmas is a promise. I mean, what is Christmas at its best? Well, it's enjoying time with family and friends, meals, laughing together, exchanging gifts, worshiping together. And I think all of these are a glimpse of things to come. And what is that? It's really a promise of heaven, a promise of something better. And here's what I think is really exciting. Frank is having his first Christmas in heaven. You know, you look around, you say, oh, I wish my loved one who's not with me now and they're with the Lord, I wish they could see this now. You're looking at twinkling lights. And you think, really, do you think what they're seeing is not a little bit better than what you're seeing? You know, you're looking at a cutout angel. They're looking at the holy angels. You know, you're having your temporary pleasures, but they're in the presence of God, seeing the Lord in all of his glory. See, that's what it is. You know, ever since I've been a little boy, I believed in the promise of Christmas. I believed that Christmas spoke of something greater, something more important. In fact, you can pretty much sum up your life by the stages of Christmas, starting with Santa Claus. I did a little drawing here that I brought along. I don't know if you know, I used to be a cartoonist, obviously not a very good one. But this is called the Four Stages of Christmas. And so basically, stage number one, you believe in Santa Claus. That's me as a little kid here, see. Phase number two, you don't believe in Santa Claus. That's me as a teenager looking cynical. Number three, you become Santa Claus. This is me now. And then finally, you look like Santa Claus down here. That's me in 2 days. Okay, so. But you know, when I was a kid, I always wanted a family, but I never had one. And I remember one Christmas with my mom, not far from where we are right now, in Newport Beach. We were living in a hotel, and I got up Christmas morning all excited to open my presents. And my mom was passed out from a night of drinking, and the room smelled of alcohol and stale smoke. There was one of those artificial white trees with a little colored thing turning slowly, you know, on the tree, and I looked around and I thought, it's got to get better than this. And see, I believe that Christmas spoke of something greater, and what it really speaks of is what we can have in a relationship with Jesus Christ. I mean, really, what is the primary message of Christmas? That God came to us. You will call his name Emmanuel, which means God is with us. The message of Christmas is not let it snow or let us shop. It's let us worship. Why? Because God is with us. The first Christmas gift was not the gifts of the wise men to the child, but they were the gift from God to us of Jesus Christ. For God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son, and whoever believes in him will not perish, but have everlasting life. It's all about Emmanuel. It means this, you'll never be alone in life again. Jesus said in John 14:23, if any man loves me, he'll keep my word, and my Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our home with him. And that's an amazing statement. God the Father and God the Son are saying they want to make their home with you and me. Jesus said, lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. And that, by the way, is not just a promise for shorter people. Lo, I am with you. It's for all the shorter people. I didn't like that. Okay, sorry. It's a promise to all people that we'll never be alone again. Why? Because Emmanuel, God is with us. Jesus said, I'll never leave you or forsake you. And if you were to translate that from the original language, it would come out to something like this, I will never, no, never, no, never leave you or forsake you. Listen, Christmas is about undoing loneliness. He's going to be with you in the happy days. He's going to be with you in the sad days. He's going to be with you on the hard days. He'll be with you through all of your days. And then he'll be waiting for you on the other side to welcome you into glory. So you don't have to be afraid because God is with you. Now, maybe you're having a hard Christmas this year. Maybe your marriage fell apart and you're all alone. Let me tell you something. God is with you. Maybe your kids have forgotten about you this year. Well, God hasn't forgotten about you. Emmanuel, God is with you. Maybe your parents have forgotten about you. Well, God, your Father, has not forgotten about you. You know, sometimes people have asked me, you know, how do you get through the holidays if you've lost a loved one? Is there some book I could read? And my answer is, you don't need a manual. You need Emmanuel. You need to know that God is there. You need to lean into him. Because that's the essential message of this holiday season, that God came near. As Phil was saying a little bit earlier, he came to this earth, he breathed our air, he lived our life, he died our death. But yet for many, the holidays can be very sad. There's a song that is often sung this time of the year. I heard the bells on Christmas Day. You know that song? It's really one of the most beautiful out there. And the story behind it is quite interesting. It was written by the poet Henry Wadsworth Longfellow in the year 1860. He was feeling quite optimistic at this point. Abraham Lincoln had been elected president, giving hope to many. But things turned dark for America as a civil war broke out. And then, after this war started, Longfellow's own wife died in a tragic accident in their home. He obtained severe burns on his hands and face trying to save his wife. He was so badly burned, he could not even attend her funeral service. So in his diary on Christmas Day of 1861, he wrote these words, "How inexpressibly sad are the holidays." In 1862, the toll of war dead from the Civil War began to mount. And in his diary for that year, Longfellow wrote, "A Merry Christmas, say the children, but that is no more for me." Well, in 1863, his son ran away to join the Union Army. He was severely wounded. He returned home in December. There's no entry in Longfellow's diary for that Christmas. But Longfellow wanted to pull himself out of his despair, so he wrote down these words on a piece of paper. "I heard the bells on Christmas Day, the old familiar carols play, and wild and sweet the words repeat, of peace on earth, goodwill to men. But then he thought about how bleak things were in the country, how hard things were in his own life. And then he wrote these words, "In despair, I bowed my head. There is no peace on earth, I said, for hate is strong and mocks the song of peace on earth, goodwill to men." But then gaining an eternal perspective, sort of thinking of it from a biblical angle, Longfellow then writes these words, "Then peal the bells more loud and deep. God is not dead, nor doth he sleep. The wrong shall fail, the right prevail, with peace on earth, goodwill to men." So I've asked Phil to sing this song for us right now. Now listen to these lyrics in light of this story.
On Christmas Day, their old familiar carols play, and wild and sweet the words repeat, with peace on earth, goodwill to men. There is no peace on earth, I said, for hate is strong and mocks the song, for peace on earth, goodwill to men.
I love those words. God is not dead, nor doth he sleep. The wrong shall fail, the right prevail. See, one day in heaven, all the wrongs will be righted. All the questions will be answered. One day, the promise of Christmas will be fulfilled in heaven. And I think if we put too much in the holiday itself, we're going to be disappointed. Because, you know, Christmas can't deliver on its promises. It's not the fault of Christmas per se. It's really our fault. We have built it up so much in our mind that no single event could ever deliver what we really want. Christmas cannot bring harmony to your home. Christmas cannot bring peace on earth. Christmas cannot bring happiness. But Christ can do all of this and more. Here's what we're longing for deep down inside. Not Christmas, but Christ. Not merriment, but the Messiah. Not goodwill, but God. Not presence, but his presence in our life. Anyone or anything short of this will disappoint. You know, sometimes on the holidays, people in despair will turn to drugs, or maybe they'll turn to drinking. But listen, you don't need the spirits in the holiday. You need the Holy Spirit. That's what this is all about. We all need to be looking to Jesus, because what's the message of Christmas? Emmanuel, God is with us. And he is here for you right now. Now, let me clarify that. God is not really with everyone. In a broad sense, God is omnipresent, which means everywhere you go, he's there. But when I say God being with a person, and really what I'm saying in effect is Christ living in a person, I'm only talking to the Christian. You're not automatically a Christian just because you're an American. There has to come a moment when you ask Christ to come and live in your heart. You see, this beautiful baby in the manger came with an express purpose, and that purpose was to die for the sin of the world. The incarnation was for the purpose of the atonement. The birth of Jesus was so there would be the death of Jesus and ultimately the resurrection of Jesus. He was born to die that we might live. And if we really want God with us, and more specifically, if we want Christ living in our hearts, we must turn from our sin and believe in him. You know, I mentioned earlier the pain of losing a child. I know this pain personally. I think for a parent, there is no greater pain than losing a child. I think for a parent, it's a fate worse than death. Well, listen, God knows all about that. He knows what it's like to lose a child. We talk about the sacrifice of Jesus, and justly so, in coming to this earth and laying aside his privileges and voluntarily going to a cross in time for the sin of the world. But let's not forget the sacrifice of the Father who watched his Son come to this earth. You know, Isaiah sums it up perfectly. Unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and you'll call his name Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. See, that gives you both the perspective of heaven and earth. From earth's perspective, unto us a child was born, and that's what we celebrate at Christmas. But listen, from heaven's perspective, unto us a son is given. See, a child was born, but a son was given. The son left the glory of heaven to come to this earth. The Father sent the Son. And how hard that must have been for the Father to watch his Son be insulted and watch them whip his Son. And then to watch them crucify his Son. And then to have to place all the sin of the world on his Son. But he did this because he loves all of us. Because he wants us to have the ultimate gift. The gift of eternal life. The only gift that keeps on giving. And I think as you get older, you gain a greater appreciation of this gift as it begins to unfold and reveal itself. And I wonder if you have that in your life right now. Do you know with absolute certainty that if you were to die, you would go to heaven? You know, my friend Frank Pastore, actually the day of his accident, was finishing his radio broadcast. And he was talking about the soul, and just kind of as a sidebar, Frank and I had many discussions on this topic together because he was very supportive of us when our son went to be with the Lord, and he was there with us every year at the Christopher Laurie Memorial Golf Tournament. He would do his radio show remote from there, and we'd talk about my son, we'd talk about eternal things, and we had a lot of conversations on the air and off the air, and there's no question, Frank, you know, believed in heaven, and we talked about that. And it just so happened the day of his accident, he said in his show, you know, I ride a motorcycle, he said to his listeners, and it's possible that I could be riding home and someone would cut in on this lane, on the carpool lane that I ride in, and I could die. He says, but I want you to know I would still be alive. I'm loosely paraphrasing. And actually, that's exactly what happened that day. Someone cut in on the carpool lane. And I don't know that he died that day. I think he probably did not. You know, when he was in that hospital room, when a person's in a coma, you don't know what's really going on and with the soul. I mean, because I've spoken with people who are in comas who have told me afterwards that they heard everything I said. So when I visit someone in a hospital room in a coma, I talk to them as though they can hear me because I believe they may be hearing every word I'm saying. And I don't know if Frank was in heaven hearing me say this or if he was here on earth waiting to go to heaven. But I'll tell you one thing. If he was in heaven and I'm saying, wake up and come back here, he'd be like saying, you wake up and come up here, you know. What's wrong with you? This is one of those things we'll never know. Maybe when I get to heaven, I'll ask him about it. But But I know the moment he took his last breath on earth, whenever that was, he took his first breath in heaven. And that's not because Frank was a great guy and had a radio show. That's because he believed in Jesus Christ and asked God to forgive him of his sin. And I know he's with the Lord because of that. And I wonder if you've done that yet. And if you haven't, why don't you do it right now? In a moment, I want to pray and give you an opportunity to ask Christ to come into your life, an opportunity to be forgiven of all of your sin, an opportunity to get right with God and get rid of the guilt in your life and fill that void in your life you've been trying to fill with all these other things that will never fill it. Jesus who was born, Jesus who died, Jesus who rose again from the dead is here with us right now, standing at the door of your life, and he is knocking, and he says, if you'll hear his voice and open the door, he'll come in. Have you asked him in yet? If not, why don't you do that right now? Let's all bow our heads and let's all pray. Father, I pray for any here now that may not yet know you. They've not asked for your forgiveness. They need Jesus. Lord, would you help them to see their need for you and help them to come to you right now, we ask. Now while our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed and we're praying together, how many of you would say today or tonight rather, Greg, pray for me. I want Jesus Christ in my life. I want to be forgiven of my sin. I don't want to go through life alone anymore. I'm ready to ask Christ to come in. I want to go to heaven when I die. Pray for me. Listen, if you want your sin forgiven, if you want to know that you will go to heaven when you die, if you want your guilt taken away, if you want that void in your life filled by Jesus, would you lift your hand up right now and let me pray for you? Lift your hand up where I can see it and I'll pray for you. God bless you. Just lift your hand up. Let me pray for you tonight. God bless you there in the back. God bless you. Anybody else? Lift your hand up. God bless you and you. God bless. Over here on this side, God bless you. I can't see you in the overflow room, but I'm going to ask you to raise your hand as well. If you want to make this commitment to Christ, raise your hand up right now. They're in that room watching on the screen. Just lift your hand up. I'm confident some of you are. Maybe some of you would say, you know, I've fallen away from the Lord. There was a time I walked with him, but I pushed God out of my life. And I've kind of forgotten about him. Well, here's the good news. God has not forgotten about you. And he misses you and wants you to come back to him. If you would like to make a recommitment to Jesus tonight, why don't you raise your hand up right now and let me pray for you. You want to come back to the Lord. God bless you up here in the front. God bless you and you. Anybody else? God bless you. God bless you. There in that overflow room, you raise your hand too. If you need to make a recommitment to Christ, God bless each one. Father, I thank you now for each one of these. Help them to take the next step and receive all that you have for them. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.